Welcome to this audio issue of Tech Frontiers, published and copyrighted by Porter & Company, all rights reserved. Please note that this recording was generated via AI and may contain minor transcription errors and pronunciation mistakes. Throughout this issue, I may reference charts, graphs, and imagery that can only be viewed on our website at porterandcompanyresearch.com. This issue was originally published on January 8, 2026. Doubling down on two favorites. Recognizing when an early win was not the whole win. The risk/reward is more favorable than ever. In the early 2000s, biotech pioneer Wayne Rothbaum did something most investors would have been thrilled to do. He made a more than 300% return on his capital. Rothbaum was already a respected, quietly formidable biotech investor when he first backed a small California company called Pharmacyclics. The company's science was intriguing. The molecule it developed, ibrutinib, targeted a novel pathway in B-cell cancer malignancies. The data were early, messy, and uncertain, but Rothbaum saw promise others didn't and invested. He bought most of his Pharmacyclics position in the range of $1 to $2 per share. When Pharmacyclics stock rose to around $6 per share, Rothbaum exited most of his investment. From a conventional investing perspective, this was a home run. A 300+% gain is the kind of result most investors dream about. But Pharmacyclics stock didn't stop rising at $6. Over the following years, ibrutinib emerged as one of the most important cancer drugs of its generation. The stock kept climbing and climbing until, in 2015, AbbVie acquired Pharmacyclics for $21 billion. From trough to peak, the ultimate return was closer to 100x, compared with Rothbaum's 3x. Rothbaum had been right about the science, right about the disease, right about the molecule, right about his timing in buying the stock, and right about the price at which he bought. What he had underestimated was how big the win could be. Nathan Vardy's superb book For Blood and Money recounts what happened next, and this is the part of the story that matters most for us as investors. Rothbaum didn't chase Pharmacyclics after selling his shares at $6. He didn't try to make it back, and he certainly didn't wallow in regret. Instead, he did something far more interesting and far more profitable. He went back to first principles. He asked, why did Pharmacyclics work? What was the repeatable pattern beneath the outcome? And where else might that same pattern exist? This line of questions catalyzed Rothbaum to help found Acerta Pharma, another company focused on B-cell malignancies, this time with a next-generation BTK inhibitor. The science was cleaner, the competitive positioning sharper. And Rothbaum, having learned from Pharmacyclics, stayed the course. When AstraZeneca, AZN, acquired Acerta in 2016, Rothbaum made 38x his money. Rothbaum returned to the theme that had animated his original Pharmacyclics investment: wiser, more patient, and with a clearer sense of what he owned, and it unlocked his grand slam in Acerta. A similar goal animates this issue of Tech Frontiers. This month, we revisit two companies we know well. One is already in our portfolio, the other is a name we sold for a 237% gain. As we'll see, the market has given us a compelling opportunity to reinvest in both companies at prices I had not expected we'd see again. And for reasons we'll explore in detail, the risk/reward they offer is more favorably asymmetric than ever, featuring stronger science, better competitive positioning, and greater strategic optionality for both companies. Our recommendations this month are Sagimet Biosciences, NASDAQ, SGMT, where we'll be doubling down on my favorite stock in our portfolio, and Unicure, NASDAQ, Cure, where we'll be buying a newest stock that has been our biggest historical winner. To be clear, this issue isn't about nostalgia, but instead, it's about taking a page from Wayne Rothbaum, about recognizing when an early win was not the whole win, and then having the discipline to lean in when the odds are favorably asymmetric. Let's begin. Doubling down on my favorite stock in our portfolio. Our original investment thesis in Sagimet. When we recommended Sagimet Biosciences, NASDAQ, SGMT, in September 2024, our investment thesis rested on a simple but powerful insight. Sagimet's flagship molecule, denifanstat, is a fundamentally different, better kind of drug that treats metabolic dysfunction-associated steatohepatitis, MASH, commonly known as fatty liver disease. At the time of that recommendation 16 months ago, the market had begun to appreciate the scale of the MASH opportunity. Fatty liver disease is not a niche indication. It's one of the largest, fastest-growing, and most undertreated disease categories in medicine. But the way most companies approach MASH looks increasingly crowded and incremental. THR-beta agonists help burn fat already present in the liver. FGF21 analogs nudge metabolism in complex, indirect ways. Denifanstat, which Sagimet's CEO once described to me as a beautiful, once-in-a-career molecule, stands apart. by inhibiting fatty acid synthase, FAN, a central enzyme responsible for de novo lipogenesis, denifanstat attacks MASH at its metabolic source. It doesn't merely help the liver burn fat, it also prevents the creation of new pathological fat in the first place. That distinction matters enormously, because MASH is not a one-dimensional disease. Instead, it's defined by a triad: fat accumulation, inflammation, and fibrosis. Denifanstat is the only late-stage drug candidate that shows potent therapeutic benefit across all three. The clinical data has reinforced the mechanistic story. In the Phase 2 FASCINATE 2 trial, denifanstat delivered statistically significant improvements in NAS score, inflammation, and, most notably, fibrosis. Fibrosis regression had long been considered the holy grail of MASH drug development. Denifanstat did not just flirt with that bar, it cleared the bar convincingly. Long-standing readers of Tech Frontiers know that while we often begin with the science, science alone is never enough to justify our investment recommendation. In Sagimet's case, denifanstat's game-changing medical promise came hand-in-hand with a textbook setup from biotech's prolonged bear market. We originally discovered Sagimet forgotten amid hundreds of other negative enterprise value, EV, biotech equities, trading at a valuation that priced in failure despite owning one of the most differentiated assets in one of the largest disease markets in medicine. The risk/reward was one of the most favorably asymmetric I've encountered in my career. How the Sagimet recommendation has played out so far? Our recommendation of Sagimet has already delivered home run results, twice. After we originally recommended Sagimet as part of our 10-stock negative EV biotech basket in January 2024, the stock exploded higher from our entry price of $5.71 to over $18 per share, a gain of over 200%. That surge was catalyzed by the release of Sagimet's Phase 2 data. At the time, we advised subscribers to sell one half of their position, crystallizing gains while retaining exposure to further upside. When one of Sagimet's early venture capital backers dumped their shares aggressively in the aftermath of the successful Phase 2 results, having been involved with the company for over a decade, the stock eventually gave back its gains and settled lower. We took advantage of the decline, recommending the stock again in September 2024 with an entry price of $2.62. This second recommendation performed even better, as Sagimet's stock rallied above $10 in July 2025, a gain of nearly 300% in 9 months. Today, Mr. Market is giving us what smells to me like our greatest opportunity with Sagimet yet. The company is in a better position than it's ever been. And yet investors, impatient with what some worry is a catalyst calendar that won't deliver any new news for a while, have allowed Sagimet stock to slide below $6 per share. It's time for us to take advantage again. Why Sagimet is a more compelling opportunity today than ever? Today, Sagimet is a stronger company with a broader opportunity set, less scientific risk, and more strategic optionality than ever. I believe Sagimet's denifanstat will eventually prove to be a more valuable asset in fatty liver disease than Madrigal Pharmaceuticals, MDGL, Resmetirom, yet the market gives Madrigal a $13 billion EV, while Sagimet's market cap is $180 million, and its EV, adjusting for about $150 million of cash on Sagimet's balance sheet, is a laughable $50 million. In the meantime, the market appears to be ascribing virtually no value to denifanstat's potential in acne, another multi-billion dollar indication that wasn't clearly on the radar when we first recommended the stock. Finally, Sagimet today is as plausible an M&A target for big pharma as any small-cap biotech. Let's explore each leg of Sagimet's positive asymmetry today, in MASH, in acne, and as an M&A target. 1. Denifanstat's path forward in MASH. Since our September 2024 re-recommendation, Sagimet has continued to methodically advance denifanstat toward Phase 3 in MASH, tightening the drug's development plan and clarifying endpoints in alignment with evolving U.S. Food and Drug Administration, FDA, guidance. Importantly, denifanstat's profile has aged well in the emerging competitive landscape for MASH. As more data comes in from THR-beta agonists and GLP-1s, it's becoming increasingly clear that fatty liver disease will be treated with combinations, not monotherapies. No single mechanism fully addresses fat, inflammation, and fibrosis simultaneously. Denifanstat is uniquely well-positioned in that future. It is mechanistically orthogonal and complementary to THR-beta agonists and GLP-1s. It sits upstream of many metabolic cascades that other drugs only modulate indirectly. It is oral, making it exceptionally convenient, and therefore attractive, as a therapy. In combination regimens, denifanstat's identity as the leading FAN inhibitor is not a nice-to-have, it's foundational. This is why denifanstat increasingly looks less like another MASH drug and more like a backbone therapy. Crucially, Sagimet has not left this backbone positioning to theory alone. Over the past year, since our first two recommendations, management has made a series of quiet but strategically sophisticated moves to engineer denifanstat's success as the centerpiece of MASH combination therapy, and, in the process, to place the much larger Madrigal in a subtle but very real strategic bind. Most notably, Sagimet has partnered with Teva Pharmaceuticals, TEVA, TAPI unit, which provides core ingredients to other drug producers, to secure access to a generic-grade resmetirom API, effectively ensuring that Sagimet, not Madrigal, controls the most practical path toward an oral FAN plus THR-beta fixed dose combination. The biological logic is elegant. Resmetirom accelerates hepatic fat burning, while denifanstat shuts off new fat production at the source. Together, they form a true push-pull metabolic regimen that addresses all three pillars of MASH pathology, steatosis, inflammation, and fibrosis, more comprehensively than either agent alone. But the strategic implications are just as important as the scientific ones. By sourcing resmetirom through Teva's TAPI unit, Sagimet has sidestepped Madrigal's commercial moat, neutralized potential intellectual property, IP, leverage, and preemptively positioned itself as the natural steward of combination therapy in a post-monotherapy MASH market. In effect, Sagimet has forced a fork. Madrigal can either remain a monotherapy company in a combination world, or it can confront the reality that denifanstat is becoming an indispensable backbone therapy. That is not how small biotechs usually behave. It is how future acquirers think. 2. Denifanstat's game-changing potential in acne. The most underappreciated development at Sagimet over the past year is the emergence of acne as a second, fully independent blockbuster indication. Acne is not a vanity market, but instead it is a massive, chronic inflammatory disease affecting tens of millions of patients globally, with limited safe long-term therapies. The biology underlying acne is well understood. Excess lipid synthesis in sebaceous glands fuels inflammation and lesion formation. As a central enzyme responsible for lipid formation, FAN sits directly in the middle of that pathway, and denifanstat, as a potent FAN inhibitor, holds natural mechanistic promise to treat acne. Denifanstat's early clinical data in acne show exactly what the mechanism would predict: meaningful reductions in lesion counts with a clean systemic safety profile. If confirmed in later stage studies, these results position denifanstat as something the dermatology field has not had in decades, a novel oral agent that addresses acne at its metabolic root, without the teratogenicity, causing birth disease, tolerability, and monitoring burdens of isotretinoin, otherwise known as Accutane, the last of which has been the dominant treatment since the 1980s. From a commercial perspective, the prize here is enormous. The global acne therapeutics market exceeds $10 billion annually, with systemic therapies representing a disproportionate share of long-term value despite their safety limitations. A differentiated, oral, non-teratogenic medicine suitable for broad chronic use could plausibly command $2 billion to $4 billion in peak annual sales on a standalone basis. That's with conservative penetration assumptions. Importantly, that estimate does not require denifanstat to replace isotretinoin outright. It only requires Sagimet to capture a fraction of patients who today cycle endlessly through topical regimens, antibiotics, or delayed isotretinoin use due to safety concerns. In other words, acne alone has the potential to support a multi-billion dollar franchise for Sagimet, entirely independent of MASH. Strategically, an acne treatment does three things for Sagimet. It diversifies the company away from a single indication risk profile. It introduces a much faster, lower-cost development and commercialization path relative to MASH. It dramatically expands the universe of potential big pharma acquirers and/or deal partners. A company with credible assets in both metabolic disease and dermatology is no longer a niche biotech. It's a platform-level story. 3. Sagimet as a natural M&A target. All of this feeds into the most important point. Sagimet now sits squarely in the crosshairs of big pharma dealmakers. Multiple large pharmaceutical companies today face an identical problem: expiring blockbusters, thinning pipelines, and an urgent need for late-stage, de-risked assets that can move the financial needle. Realistically, moving the needle implies a medicine that can generate at least $2 billion annually in peak sales. At the same time, the industry has learned, sometimes painfully, that buying sexy science alone is a recipe for buyer's remorse. What they want are assets with clear mechanisms, human proof of concept, and strong evidence of differentiation potential both scientifically and commercially. Sagimet checks every one of those boxes. Recent commentary and transaction patterns suggest that large players with existing liver, metabolic, or dermatology franchises are actively scanning for precisely the kind of opportunity that Sagimet represents. Denifanstat's compatibility with combination regimens, its oral formulation, and its expanding indication set make it unusually plug-and-play for a strategic buyer. Equally important, Sagimet's corporate structure, IP position, and manufacturing relationships make it easy to buy. There are no exotic modalities, no bespoke cell therapies, no platform dependencies that complicate integration. Sagimet is exactly the kind of asset Big Pharma knows how to absorb and scale. As I write this issue, it's entirely plausible that Sagimet is no longer negotiating whether it gets acquired, but by whom and at what price. To be clear, biotech buyout negotiations can unfold over long periods of time, sometimes as long as 12 to 18 months, as acquirers or targets walk away from the table, only to return when the situation evolves. I'm not predicting that Sagimet will be acquired anytime soon, but instead I suspect the company has unusually high promise as a target for Big Pharma. Three prospective buyers stand out to me, each with its own powerful logic about why Sagimet would make a compelling strategic fit. The most obvious is Gilead Sciences, GILD. After paring back its internal MASH efforts and resetting its liver strategy, Gilead now faces a familiar problem: a world-class commercial liver franchise with a thinning late-stage pipeline. Sagimet's denifanstat offers exactly what Gilead has said it wants: a de-risked, oral, late-stage asset with combination logic that fits seamlessly alongside existing liver programs, and one that could be commercialized immediately through Gilead's global infrastructure. Sanofi, SNY, would focus on Sagimet's optionality across two franchises. Sanofi is already a dermatology heavyweight and has shown a willingness to pay decisive premiums to secure differentiated assets. For Sanofi, denifanstat's acne program is not a side note but instead a potential cornerstone oral dermatology drug that could anchor a multi-billion dollar franchise. MASH would provide upside in metabolic disease without requiring Sanofi to rebuild a liver sales force from scratch. Madrigal Pharmaceuticals, MDGL, may be compelled to bid for defensive reasons. As the player with the first approved MASH monotherapy, resmetirom, Madrigal has everything to lose if combination therapy becomes standard of care, and every incentive to ensure that denifanstat does not become the backbone of that future outside its control. Acquiring Sagimet would be far cheaper than competing against a superior FAN plus THR-beta combination built on Madrigal's own molecule, and it would convert a looming strategic threat into an internal asset. In biotech, defensive acquisitions are often the most urgent and the most expensive. What price would I expect an acquirer to pay for Sagimet? Conservatively, I think the number is north of $20 per share. That's the figure that would give Sagimet's IPO investors, who paid about $16 per share years ago, a bit of profit. To be clear, I think a Big Pharma buyer who managed to acquire Sagimet at the $750 million market cap that this $20 level implies would be getting a steal, as I anticipate denifanstat is a molecule that will eventually generate many billions of dollars in peak sales across MASH and acne. But I think an offer at north of $20 would force Sagimet's board to take a serious look. The bottom line: although I always reserve the right to change my mind, I will share with subscribers that Sagimet is my own largest public equity holding, by far, and I have recently added. Action to take: for subscribers who do not yet own Sagimet, buy a full position of Sagimet Biosciences, NASDAQ, SGMT, up to $6 per share. For subscribers who already own Sagimet, buy an additional one-half-sized position to take your Sagimet holding up to 1.5x the usual Tech Frontiers position, using the same limit up to $6 per share. I may well recommend that we increase our investment in Sagimet even further if the stock continues to fall. Revisiting our biggest winner: when a therapy works but the FDA blinks. Our original investment thesis in Unicure. When we first recommended Unicure, NASDAQ, Cure, in our October 2024 issue, the company stood at the intersection of two themes we care deeply about: transformative genetic medicine and extreme value created by biotech's bear market. At the time, Unicure was trading at a negative EV. The market was effectively saying that the company's cash on hand was worth more than the entire business, and that its pipeline of gene therapies, including one targeting a devastating neurodegenerative disease, was worth nothing. That setup alone caught our attention. But what ultimately convinced us was the combination of a truly differentiated asset and a platform capable of repeatable success. The asset was AMT-130. Unicure's one-time gene therapy for Huntington's disease. Huntington's is among the cruelest illnesses in medicine, an inherited, progressive neurodegenerative disorder with a 100% fatal outcome, no disease-modifying treatments, and a decades-long history of failed drug development. Scientists have known the genetic cause of Huntington's for more than 30 years, a toxic, mutant Huntington protein, yet until UniCure came along, every attempt to meaningfully slow the disease's development has failed. AMT-130 took a fundamentally different approach. Instead of treating symptoms downstream, it attacked Huntington's disease at its genetic root, delivered via an AAV5 vector directly into the striatum. The therapy uses a microRNA to silence expression of the Huntington gene, reducing production of the toxic protein that drives neuronal death. AMT-130 is a one-time intervention aimed at slowing, or functionally halting, disease progression over many years. The science was compelling, but as always for us, strong science alone is not enough. What made UniCure stand out was the early clinical evidence that AMT-130 was doing something no therapy had ever done before: change the trajectory of Huntington's disease in real patients. When we wrote our original issue in October 2024, UniCure's Phase 1 and Phase 2 data already suggested a dose-dependent slowing of disease progression, accompanied by favorable biomarker signals such as reductions in neurofilament light, NFL, a marker of neuronal damage. The therapy appeared not only effective but also safe and well-tolerated, essential considerations for a permanent gene therapy delivered to the brain. The market eventually took notice. Over the months following our recommendation, as additional data emerged and investor awareness grew, UniCure's shares rallied. We recommended UniCure at an entry price of $4.54 per share in October 2024, and we exited the position a few months later at $15.30 per share, a 237% gain, but in retrospect, much too soon, because when UniCure's full Phase 2 results became public, the stock rallied all the way to $70. I kicked myself for not capturing the full gain for subscribers, but now it seems the FDA's folly, and the market's overreaction, has given us a golden opportunity to own UniCure again, and with a risk/reward as compelling as ever. The FDA's rug pull, and the market's overreaction. In September 2025, UniCure released what can only be described as spectacular long-term data from its Phase I/II study. At its highest dose, AMT-130 slowed clinical progression by roughly 75% over 3 years versus external controls drawn from the Enroll-HD natural history study. Functional decline slowed materially. Biomarkers moved in the right direction. Leading Huntington's clinicians called the results beyond expectations. For patients and physicians, this was a breakthrough of Grand Slam proportions. For investors, it looked like the final confirmation needed to clear a regulatory path toward accelerated approval. UniCure had already received special FDA designations intended to speed development, including breakthrough therapy and RMAT status. The company expected to submit a biologics license application, BLA, to the FDA in early 2026. Instead, the FDA abruptly changed its posture. In a pre-BLA meeting with the company, FDA officials reversed earlier guidance and signaled that external control data would no longer be sufficient as primary evidence for approval. The agency indicated it would likely require a larger, randomized trial, a demand that, while philosophically defensible in the abstract, felt disconnected from the reality of a uniformly fatal disease with no alternatives and a therapy that was clearly working. The market's reaction was brutal and swift. UniCure shares collapsed from the high $60s to the low $20s in a single trading session, wiping out billions of dollars of market value. But notably, the FDA did not suggest that AMT-130 doesn't work, nor did it suggest that the therapy isn't approvable. Instead, the FDA's message was about regulatory timing. Why UniCure is an even more compelling opportunity today. Today, with UniCure trading in the low $20s, the stock once again presents one of the most favorably asymmetric risk/reward profiles in the entire biotech universe, for reasons that are easy to miss if one focuses only on short-term negative headlines. 1. AMT-130 works, and that's the hard part. In biotech, there are many ways to fail, but the hardest problem to solve, by far, is demonstrating meaningful clinical efficacy in humans. UniCure has done that. AMT-130 has now shown durable slowing of Huntington's disease progression over multiple years, consistent effects across clinical and functional endpoints, a safety profile acceptable for a one-time, permanent intervention. Regulatory delays are frustrating, expensive, and sometimes arbitrary, but they are not fatal when the underlying data are this strong, and the commercial opportunities are this significant. History is replete with examples of transformative therapies that faced regulatory skepticism before eventually reaching and treating patients, often after additional trials that, in hindsight, merely confirmed what was already obvious. From a long-term investor's perspective, this distinction matters enormously. The market today is pricing UniCure as if AMT-130's future was in serious doubt. That is a mistake, and an opportunity. 2. The FDA delay creates time risk, not terminal risk. The FDA's current stance introduces uncertainty about timing, not viability. Unicure has several credible paths forward to advance AMT-130. Undertaking a larger randomized study, which would be costly and time-consuming but would almost certainly validate the existing data. Prioritizing approval in Europe or the UK, where regulators may well take a more pragmatic approach in ultra-rare neurodegenerative disease that is 100% fatal. Negotiating a deal with the US FDA, which gives the agency the company's agreement to obtain additional data, but preserves some form of accelerated approval timeline. None of these paths negate the core value of AMT-130, they merely push realization of that value into the future. Crucially, Unicure's balance sheet renders it financially well-equipped to endure this delay. The company took advantage of the surge in its stock after its Phase 2 data readout, raising $345 million in proceeds at $47.50 per share this past September, which gives it total net cash, including prior cash reserves, of almost $700 million. This financial war chest provides management the luxury of patience as it pursues a regulatory path forward and gives investors an opportunity to buy an asset that works at a price that assumes it doesn't. 3. Unicure's platform optionality is underappreciated. Even as investors fixate on Huntington's and AMT-130, Unicure remains a platform company with additional shots on goal. Its AAV expertise, the ability and platform to deliver therapeutic genes to treat hereditary disorders, manufacturing capabilities, and more effective CNS delivery experiences are valuable assets in their own right. These are assets that large pharmaceutical companies routinely pay billions to acquire. Moreover, AMT-130 itself carries strategic optionality. For a big pharma company with a neurology or rare disease franchise, acquiring a therapy that meaningfully alters Huntington's disease would be transformative, not only commercially, but also reputationally. Furthermore, a big pharma buyer would likely have stronger leverage in dealing with the FDA and in applying pressure to get AMT-130 approved on a faster timeline. These considerations make Unicure, like Sagimet, a plausible big pharma acquisition target over the coming years. The bottom line. To describe the opportunity we have in Unicure today in concrete terms, it helps to sketch a back-of-the-envelope expected value for the company. Huntington's disease affects roughly 30,000 diagnosed patients in the US today, with a comparable population across Europe, and many more at risk. If we assume that AMT-130 ultimately reaches only 10,000 patients globally, a very conservative penetration for the first truly disease-modifying therapy, and is priced at $500,000 per patient for a one-time treatment, cumulative sales would approach $5 billion. If we conservatively value Unicure's genetic medicines platform at only 50% of the value of AMT-130 alone, that implies an additional $2.5 billion, or $7.5 billion in total expected value. Unicure's enterprise value today is about $700 million, implying about 10x upside. Even discounting for time and risk, the risk/reward is favorable and compelling. Action to take: buy a full position in Unicure, NASDAQ, Cure, up to $24 per share. Portfolio review. It's been mostly a positive month for the Tech Frontiers portfolio. Fortress Biotech, NASDAQ, FBO, shares have rallied sharply and are now more than $4 after the company announced that the FDA has accepted the resubmission of the new drug application, NDA, for CUTS-101, and assigned a TUFA, which expedites the process, regulatory decision date of January 14, 2026. As I write this issue, subscribers are now up about 40% relative to our entry price of $2.95 in early September. If the FDA approves CUTS-101, as I anticipate, we likely have further gains to come. Roivant Sciences, NASDAQ, Roiv, is up nearly 100% from our entry price of $11.44, with shares trading in the $21 to $22 range. Roivant's pipeline is looking more promising than ever, with several potential blockbusters advancing along clinical trials and regulatory milestones. In the meantime, the company's hidden asset, its IP infringement lawsuits against Moderna and Pfizer, are marching toward a March jury trial in the Moderna case. These lawsuits carry only upside for Roivant. A favorable verdict or settlement could help propel shares higher, while an unexpected loss would cost the company nothing except the litigation expenses it has incurred. Roivant remains one of my favorite holdings in our portfolio. Alnylam Pharmaceuticals, NASDAQ, ALNI, saw its shares slide to the low $400s range in December on new real news, but I am more convinced than ever, 1, that Cirna is the most important new medical modality in half a century, 2, that Cirna medicines are coming soon to mass indications such as obesity, metabolic disease, and dementia, where they will have transformative impacts, and 3, that Alnylam is the 800-pound gorilla of Cirna medicines and will only build on the dominant position it holds in this domain. If Alnylam shares continue to slide, I may revisit my buy up to price to allow subscribers who don't yet own the stock to build a position. For the time being, at around $425, shares still remain well above our original buy price of $320 per share. SharpLink Gaming, NASDAQ, SPET, remains the only real problem child in our portfolio, with shares today about 40% below our $17.57 recommended entry price. I'd like to take pains to reassure subscribers again that nothing has substantively changed in a way that would cause me to rethink our investment thesis. The case to own SharpLink shares remains every bit as strong as when we first wrote about in October. Indeed, shares are even more compelling now because of the dramatic decline in price. Although no one can be sure, I am reasonably confident that the downdraft in the overall blockchain market that affected SharpLink has stabilized. I'm therefore restoring SharpLink to our buy list with a buy up to price of $13 per share. Prime Medicine, NASDAQ, PRME, shares are still near our buy up to price of $4, despite having more than doubled after we first recommended them. I continue to think Prime shares are a steal at this price and would urge subscribers who don't yet own them to buy a full position. Tech Frontier's Best Buys. For new subscribers, we highlight current portfolio picks that are at an attractive buy point. The current best buys are Sagimet Biosciences, NASDAQ, SGMT, for reasons we hope are clear in this issue. Unicure, NASDAQ, Cure, for reasons we've discussed above. Prime Medicine, NASDAQ, PRME, which along with SGMT and Cure, is a very promising potential acquisition target for Big Pharma in 2026 and, even if it doesn't get acquired, looks to be among the most important emerging players in what we've called the era of genetic medicines. That's all for this month. I'm wishing you and your families a terrific start to 2026. May this year bring you good health, blessings, and prosperity. Best regards. Ares. Thank you for being a paid subscriber to Porter & Company. We hoped you enjoyed this audio issue. In addition to this issue, you should check out our top 3 best buys where we highlight 3 current portfolio picks that are at an attractive buy point today. You can find the top 3 best buys under the Best Buys link on our site at porterandcompanyresearch.com.